Dardanelles, millions of flies. Dear Mr. Welsh, we were only out here a matter of a few hours before we went into the trenches. We were there for 8 days and then came on to what is called rest camp. I suppose it is called that to distinguish it from the trenches because the men are at work all day on the road and trench making, and it comes under fire both from rifles and artillery. We got here at 7 o'clock yesterday morning and were shelled at 9 o'clock. In the trenches, it's fairly bad. They're so narrow and smelly, and one is being potted at and shelled all the time. A turn of 8 days is really quite long enough, because it's strenuous work, you see. And even when you do your turn for a rest, you have to be ready to turn up at once on any alarm. The country really is quite pretty, and just like the hills and valleys of South Wales, but there are no brooks or rivers. It rains hard for a month each year, usually about this time, and then there's no more until next rainy season. But although it is gloriously sunny, something is wrong with the place, and it really isn't as healthy as it looks. I think the flies have something to do with it. As well, the heat, and still the unburied bodies all scattered about. There are millions and millions of flies here, and they cover everything. Put a cup of tea down without a cover, and it's immediately covered with dead ones. They are all round your mouth, and directly you open it and speak or eat, they just pop in. It is a game. We have all got nets here. We should have been worried, but no medicine by now if we hadn't. We get plenty of bully beef and army biscuits, but bread and fresh meat is still a luxury, and it's not possible to buy anything. It must have been a no-man's land, because there are no houses or buildings of any kind to be seen, except the flies. The only living thing are green canaries and lizards. We live in dugouts, built up the reverse sides of the hills. There are just holes, really. But all the same, they can be made very comfortable with a bit of digging and a few waterproof sheets. They're not shellproof by any means, and the one I slept in during the first night was knocked in completely by a shell pitching right into it. Fortunately, I was not home at the time. We have another now, and I must try and get a photo of it and let you see what it's like. I must send you one of our mess dugouts, too. Everything here is named after the regiment responsible for making or taking. For instance, on the road we made from our trenches, this camp is called New Bedford Road, and the ridge we took and now occupy is called, on the army maps, Bedford Ridge. I've just been filling in and colouring my map and find it is one of the most, if not the most, advanced lines of the lot. Standing on the ridge, it is possible that we see a lot of the country that we have now taken. But there is nothing to get wildly excited about. Each position is strengthened as much as possible before another attempt is made to push on, and the whole thing is just a steady progress, really. Something might happen suddenly, but I only hope it does. We have had some very big ships out here, and they've been bombing the forts heavily now for some days. And there are cruisers, monitors, etc., standing in the bay, helping the land batteries to shell the trenches. If you see a flash, then, well, you must wait for a long time before hearing the boom and the shriek of the shell passing over our heads, almost together. Then look round quickly, see the burst of the shell in over the trenches, something before hearing that explosion. The first we know of shells aimed at us is the bang or the explosion, and it's too late to get out of the way. 3 officers were laid flat on their backs the other day, without any hurt except their dignity, and farther on, 6 men were buried without one being injured. It isn't always like that, though. There is quite good bathing here when we find time to go. As the beach is in full view of the enemy and comes under their shell fire, I should not appeal to the nervous. We never keep closer together than 10 yards when we are undressing and swimming in hopes that Turk will consider one man worth his price of a shell. We have had some casualties through the men keeping too close together, you see. But after washing out of a teacup for a week or more, it's worth a bit of a risk to get rid of some of the trench dust and smell and, well, you feel and look clean again. And really, it is the best bathing I have ever had. The water is quite warm and very clear. All the hospital work is done on board a ship that stands in the bay. If the cases are serious or lengthy, they are transferred to one of the hospital ships that calls daily and then go to either one of the bases or back to England. We land troops night or day, in spite of the fact that they come under fire, so it is possible for a man to be on his way back wounded by the same ship that brought him from the base, without having landed at all. We had a grand voyage out. All the officers had either staterooms or first-class cabins, and the food mostly was just the same as the food we'd have on a cruise to India or Australia, wherever it is that cruise line calls. The usual cabin stewards and waiters were in attendance, and it was difficult to remember that we were not exactly on a pleasure trip. We did enjoy those 2 weeks, however. Kind regards, yours sincerely, Harold William Cronin, Lieutenant.